appreciate all the comments this morning after that lesson, and I do realize it was a powerful lesson. The only problem is when you give a powerful, good lesson, is people expect it out of you more often. And so I can't guarantee you that'll happen. But anyway, I do appreciate all the comments this morning. And it will be on the internet, so you can check it on my website. And I also have copies of the recordings in the office. If there's one that you need to listen to, I have copies back there, and I can always make more copies. Got them all saved on the computer, and of course all the outlines, which the outline for the lesson this morning is one which you probably ought to hang on to, because it's, like I say, it's very appropriate in our day and age. And so if you need those, just let me know, and we'll print up copies of the outlines. This evening, I want to talk about why the Church of Christ is different. And the world in general places us in a category along with all the other faith-based groups. I mean, Church of Christ is no different than any other group as far as they're concerned. And that's just not true. We are different. And we have to tell people we're different. And sometimes we have to tell our own members that we're different because they don't know the difference a lot of times. I know I have met many members of the church who have been going to the church for years cannot tell you the difference between the Church of Christ and the Baptist Church or the Catholic Church or the Methodist Church or the Presbyterian Church or any other church. They don't know the difference. And so that's why I came up with a lesson like this. See, the average person in our society does not know that the Church of Christ is different from the denominations. Oh, we're just another denomination. You know, a lot of times when you're conversing with someone, they might ask, what denomination are you? And without thinking, well, Church of Christ, of course. No, that is wrong. We're not Church of Christ. We are Christians who attend at the Church of Christ. And there is a big difference, but the world sees it differently. Sadly, some who are members of the local church do not know why the Church of Christ is different from the denominations. And they may be going to the Church of Christ for a few years, and all of a sudden, well, I'll just go see what the Baptists are doing for a while and spend some time over there. Then I might try something else. Some of our visitors we get through here, they make it a habit of just going around to different places trying to see what's out there. And so in the Church of Christ, we have to be very understanding of that and recognize that's what they're doing. And that's why we need to fill our sermons with book, chapter, and verse type preaching, because you don't find that anywhere else. All right, the fact that they are all different should speak volumes, because each group is different from the others. And so they're not all the same. They are all different. And when we look at the word denomination, the very definition means just another brand of a larger entity. And we speak of different value of money as denominations. Like you have paper bills. There's a 1, there's a 5, 10s, 20s, and then on up the line. And they're called different denominations of what? Different denominations of money. When it comes to churches, people call us different denominations of the Lord's body. And so people do consider each different denomination will be just another entity or denomination within the universal church of Christ. And now basically, you know, this idea of attend the church of your choice. Well, you've got choices out there. People do things differently, so you can go make your choice. You'll still be part of that body of Christ. That's what these people think. And that is so far from the truth. So each entity is different, as they all have differences. And that's why they're a denomination, because they have differences. Differences in doctrine, in beliefs, in creeds, in works, and actions. They're all different, and yet they all claim to be the same. I mean, that's a paradox right there. That just doesn't really make any sense. Everybody's different, Nobody's different. It seems to be their thinking. So some designate their denomination by a name. Wherever they go, like I mentioned a few, the Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, and stuff like that. Some by a belief, like the Methodists. If you look in the dictionary under the word denomination, you're going to have 8 descriptions. And when it comes to Church of Christ, we only meet one of those definitions. And that's basically being separated by name. Because we are not, we do not call ourselves the same as those other groups out there. So we are the Church of Christ. And that's what we believe we are. We are members of the Church of Christ. We are Christians in the Lord's body. And so that's really the only definition that we come close to in, if you look up all the different meanings of the word denomination. All right, so that is why we are different from the rest. And we do not consider ourselves as a denomination like the world does. Now, I say that for majority of churches might say that, but there's many within the body of Christ who are what we call progressives. They want to be recognized as a denomination. There's a lot of cities and communities around this world where Churches of Christ, the members, join the ministerial alliance. In other words, join with all the others and have fellowship with each other. And they sit there and will go and participate with other groups. They'll exchange pulpits. And really, for them, the message is no different. Doesn't matter if a Baptist is preaching it or a Methodist or Presbyterian. The message is still the same. It's all watered down. It's all milquetoast. It's something that's is not like what we heard this morning. Definitely, you're not going to hear that type of sermon in any denomination. And there's other sermons that we preach from time to time, preaching on authority. You're not going to hear lessons on authority from those groups that have left God. So you're not going to hear that. Now, just because a group has the moniker Church of Christ does not make them one. In different parts of this country, if you see a building with the sign Church of Christ, I mean, you're liable to be surprised if you walk in there. Some of them are of the denomination called the Disciples of Christ or the First Christian Church. Sometimes they are Pentecostal in nature. They have different beliefs and they hold to different doctrines. And so just because they have the name Church of Christ doesn't make them one. And we've said time and time again, what makes a Church of Christ is one who adheres to and follows the Word of God. All right, so there are many who have tried to change the Church of Christ into a full-fledged denomination. In other words, when they start talking about the denominations, they want Church of Christ included in that group. And of course, by preaching the truth, that is not going to happen. So they don't preach the truth. They go into all sorts of different things and, the psychological babble, the making you feel good and stuff like that. And like I say, even in the Lord's body, there's people who are trying to gain acceptance of the denominations. And the only way you can become like one of them is to behave like one of them. In other words, don't be such a stickler when it comes to baptism for the remission of sins. Oh no, that we can't do that. I mean, everyone knows you're saved before you're baptized, or at least that's what they say. And it's a personal feeling. You accept Jesus into your heart or say the sinner's prayer. Where is that found in the Bible? It's not. But that's what they do. I know many Church of Christ preachers have determined that baptism is not essential to salvation. There's a lot of Church of Christ preachers who have denied the existence of an eternal burning fire in hell. And so many other things that they have done just so they can be accepted by others. But we are different. We are going to view some of those differences. And hopefully we will understand this. And hopefully you'll understand why we need lessons like this. Because, like I say, there may be even some in this group, this audience, that does not know the difference between the Church of Christ and any of those other groups out there. All right, when it comes to the Bible, one of the primary and foremost reasons we are not a denomination is because of how we treat the Bible. And we treat it with respect. We honor the Scriptures. We stick to the Scriptures. And we respect it as the Word of God. Most of those other groups, they have just thrown out the Bible altogether. They say things such as, well, the Bible is obsolete. Or the Bible is nothing more than some love letters written to people in the first century. No, the Bible is the Word of God, and we treat it as such, as opposed to what these other groups do. Denominations also claim to respect the Word of God, yet their actions and doctrines are a disclaimer that they do not follow the Bible. You look at those denominations, and they all have different creeds or manuals or disciplines. And every one of those books, every one of those pamphlets that they hand out of their statements, first of all says, we hold that the Bible is the Word of God, fully sufficient to accomplish what God wants. And where is that written? It's in their creed book. I mean, that's kind of an anomaly right there. Yeah, they claim the Bible gives us everything we need to know, but now you've got to follow our discipline so you can be a part of our denomination. So you can see where that's wrong. And just about every creed ever published states they hold the Bible to be infallible and inerrant, Word of God, fully sufficient to do what God planned it to do, but they reject this teaching when they write it in a creed book. One motto we use is this, which we started using many years ago before any of us were born. There were some people got together, they started studying the Bible, and they came up on this phrase, speak where the Bible speaks, be silent where it is silent. I mean, that's a good statement. It's one that needs to be held to, and we're proud to say such a thing because that's what we do. I mean, those denominations, they do not do that. And this is based on the phrase in 1 Peter 4:11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as it were the oracles of God. So that's where it's based on. And it is sound reasoning. If God said it, we had better repeat it. And if God did not say it, we do not have the right to insert our own human thinking, which is what so many of them do. So many of them base their doctrines on what was not said as opposed to what God did say. Our view is if God has revealed in His Word about how we are to worship Him, we'd better be right. We better consider this. We look to the commands of the Bible and the examples of what they did. And we know that they were guided by the Holy Spirit. So if they did it, it's right for us to do. If they sang without the instrument, it's right for us to do. If they prayed in their assemblies, if they preached in their assemblies, it is right to do. If they observed the Lord's Supper in their assemblies, that is right to do. And it should be done. If they collected money for the first day of the week, yes, that is right also. See, the Bible is our only guide in this matter. Whereas in the denominations, you have to go to some creed book to figure out what's the proper order of worship. That is why we use Scripture to teach us and to guide us. That's the only thing we can count on. Everything we do has Scripture to support our actions and our teachings. And probably some of our members do not even know that. They don't know why we do what we do. Well, because the Bible authorizes it. Book, chapter, and verse is very important to us. And apparently it's not important to other people because they go participate in the denominations. And they don't use book, chapter, and verse. They might pull a verse out if it's convenient for the moment, but they don't stick to all the scriptures. They might read half a verse and just cut it off right there. The Bible, these are the words of God, they're the words of Christ, they're the words of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 1:1-2 talks about the fact that in times past, God spoke to different entities in different ways to the prophets and the fathers, but in these last days has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Christ not only spoke these words himself, he commissioned his apostles to go and preach these messages. The Holy Spirit was given to guide these people into presenting all the truth. And these words need to be treated as divine words. They need to be treated and respected as if they came from the very mouth of God himself, which literally they did. Sometimes we don't respect our Bibles that way. Sometimes for some people, the Bible just levels the table that's crooked, or it's just a showpiece you put in the dashboard of your car to let people know, hey, I've got a Bible. And no, our Bibles are very important to us, and we need to keep them handy. We need to keep them with us. And a great tool you can have is put it on your cell phone. They have all these apps with Bible all over them. On your cell phone, on your tablet, whatever. You have that available to you. We have this stuff available. You know, years ago, people craved for this. In some foreign countries where they're not allowed to have Bibles, if they get a chance to get their hand on one, they treat it as very special. And it's just, like I say, a treasure for so many people. And because we have so many, probably all of us have 3 or 4 or maybe a half dozen Bibles in their home. And they're just, so what? It's just another Bible. But they're all very special, and we should learn from each and every one of them. In our denominational world, much preaching takes place without referencing the Holy Scriptures as a source of authority. There's many preachers get up here on Sunday in this community, and they talk, a lot of them without using one scripture. Maybe some of them might read one scripture and then base their whole message on what they think that says, rather than letting the Bible explain it. And there's a lot of Church of Christ preachers who basically have fallen into that same pitfall. As some of the comments this morning, we need more preaching like that. Why? This should have been going on all along, but it's not. The authority of Scripture comes in the form of, as we've said before, we have lessons on this. You're going to hear more lessons on that. Statements of fact, direct commands, approved apostolic examples, the necessary implication or inference, and even respecting the silence of Scripture. That's how we determine the authority for the things that we do. If God said it, that's what we need to do. And if God didn't say it, we better leave it alone. God's plan of salvation, like I've already made reference, they have different ways of being saved. You can say the sinner's prayer, altar calls, or whatever. You're saved before you're baptized and things like that. What is God's plan of salvation? And one of the most obvious differences between denominations and us is how we teach the plan of salvation. We teach it differently than they do. I mean, hearing the gospel message, we understand that portion. You can't be saved without it. Believing the message, having that faith, and believing in Christ as the Son of God, repenting of your sins, to turn away from your sins, and to change your life, because your life is in opposition to God up to this point. And then confessing the name of Jesus, something we do and should continue doing every day the rest of our life. And being baptized for the remission of our sins, having our sins washed away. Because we know it's our sins that keep us separated from God, Isaiah 59 and verse 2. So our sins are washed away. We can come into the presence and a relationship with Almighty God. Denominations use some of these. Denominations will almost universally acknowledge the fact that Jesus is the Christ. That's where it stops. They don't even go the idea of repenting. No, God loves you. He loves you as you are, so you don't need to change, is their message. Well, I beg to differ. The Bible says, yeah, we better change. Change is necessary. And they don't use these for the even for some of the same reasons. They just don't know why they do it. They have creeds. Another difference is the fact that most every denomination has its own written creed. That is their guide. And of course, these man-made written creeds are rewritten all the time to satisfy political desires. You know, the Methodists, they have their Methodist discipline. Started about 170 years ago, and it's been rewritten over 140 times. At least 30 years ago, it was in its 147th rendition. Every time they have a convention, well, this is what we're going to believe now, they have to rewrite their creed book. The Baptists do pretty much the same thing. Every 2 years, they gather for a convention, and they sit down there, and, well, this is what we're going to teach from now on. And that's why, okay, a division takes place. We're going to allow women preachers. No, we're not. Yes, we are. And guess what? The convention goes away split. Now they have the Southern Baptist Convention, the American Convention, and this convention. And it's split just as badly as the Church of Christ is split. You know there's 28 distinct divisions in the Church of Christ? 28. And it's just like you're looking at the denominations. Some will accept this, some will not. Some will fellowship this type of teaching, and some will not. And it's rewritten all the times. You know, I always made fun of the Methodist preacher because one morning he'd get up and he'd preach a powerful message. This is what God says. God, it's sin. The next week he has to come back. Well, what I said last week, just ignore that. Because it's not that way anymore. We now teach that it's okay. In the Church of Christ, we have no creed but the Bible. The Bible is our creed. Most of these creeds will declare the Bible to be, the inerrant Word of God, but ignore the Bible to pursue their own religious error. What about the name? Name, Church of Christ. Of course, the name segregates from other groups and tells outsiders we are different. We're not Baptist, we're not Methodist, we're not this or that. We are the Church of Christ. And then a lot of people out in the world, what is the Church of Christ? It must be some sort of cult or something. I mean, that's what we hear all the time. And our name shows there's a difference. But our name also recognizes who it belongs to. Some groups use the names of men as their identity. You know, Martin Luther, Lutherans, Calvins, Calvinism, John Knox, and different individuals. Some groups use a doctrinal belief as their identity. Charles Wesley started the Methodist Church. He didn't want the church named after him, so he said, let's call ourselves Methodists because we practice various methods. And so they do that. And then, of course, there's the holiness groups. That seems to be their thing. The Pentecostal groups, that seems to be their thing. And, of course, do they use the Bible? No, they ignore the Bible. They do what they want to do. So we choose to identify ourselves with Christ. We come here to honor Jesus Christ, our King, our Lord, our Master, our Savior. Thus we carry the designation Church of Christ. And the organization of the church is something that we do need to talk about, because we know the denominations have all sorts of different levels of organization, which is not found in the Bible. Many groups are known for their levels of hierarchy, the Catholic Church being an example there. I mean, they have their, not only their priests, but then their bishops and their archbishops and their cardinals and their pope. I mean, they have all sorts of levels. And before you can do anything or teach anything, you got to have the approval of the next one up in charge. And they've got to go get approval from their superior on up the line. According to the Bible, we read that Christ is head of the church. If Christ is head of the church, why not just listen to him? Jesus said, "All authority is given unto me." Matthew 28, verse 18. Ephesians 1, 19 through 23 talks about in Christ. He made him his head over all things to his church. Within the local churches, the scriptures authorize elders over each individual congregation and deacons to assist the elders. There are some groups in the Church of Christ who do not have a plurality of elders. They have one elder. And they recognize, they say, well, that's okay. Then they have the traveling elders. In other words, one elder is over each congregation. Might be 20 or 30. He'll get around to them eventually, but he's over all of these. They call this evangelistic oversight in the Midwest. And that's wrong, because the Bible says elders, plural. Then, of course, we have a lot of elderships. Basically, one guy runs the show, and the other's just there as figureheads, just, okay, just to let you do what you want to do. I remember being a part of a congregation one time, and they needed a third person to be an elder. Well, yeah, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to get up and teach. But if you need a name up there, that's fine, so you can run the show. I'll just sit out of the way. Man, that's enough to make you shake your head and say, what in the world is this? There's nothing more, nothing less than what the scriptures authorize. And we're going to work on getting elders here once again. Evangelists are a different category and should not be confused with the other offices. Neither do they have any authority over the church. That's important, because most of these churches call their evangelist the pastor. And you know that. They call their evangelist the pastor. In other words, he's in charge of the church. He runs the show. He determines who can be a member and who cannot be a member. That's how they operate. Preachers don't have that kind of authority. The authority we have comes from God, and that is to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and patience. Why? Because they will not endure sound doctrine. And they want to have their ears tickled. We don't do that. Preachers do not have any authority. Now, so many times I'm asked, well, what do you think about this? I mean, that's my personal opinion. Sometimes, now if I can show you, here's what the Bible says about it. I mean, that's something else. But giving my personal opinion is not, there's no authority associated with that whatsoever. Preachers do not have authority over a church. When you get down to it, elders don't have authority over the church. In the respect that Christ is head over the church. Christ has given the rules. They just basically enforce the rules, and they lead by example. The work of the church. Now here's where it really gets strange with the denominations. They do all sorts of things. According to the Bible, the work of the church is limited to three things. If we follow the Bible, it's evangelism, edification, and limited benevolence. Not just given to everybody, but people have to be qualified in order to receive the benevolence that comes from the church. Now, individually, we can help out with benevolence anybody if we want to. That's our choice, and that's our freedom to do so. And we're encouraged to do that. But when it comes to the funds from the church, helping a brother or sister, yes, it can be done. But helping an outsider, no, we're limited there. We are speaking of the church collective. Like I say, individuals do their own thing. General benevolence, evangelism, and edification are all duties that individuals are commanded to do. We're all preachers. We're all teachers. We all have the ability to encourage each other and to help each other. And if we see one that's basically not living according to God's standard, as we said this morning, it becomes our duty to bring it up to them and let them know, because we're concerned about their soul. While we cannot deny that some things done by churches are good works, we also note there is no authority for a church to be involved in those things. I mean, having a Boy Scout troop, sponsoring a Boy Scout troop, things like that, Girl Scout troop, or having some sort of night classes for the local community college. There's no authority for that. Churches, congregations are limited to what Scripture authorizes. In the town where I grew up many years ago, the mainstream Church of Christ, which we kind of identified later with as being very liberal, they sold their building near downtown, and they bought a piece of land out there near the freeway, where the freeway was going to go through. And so they said, well, we want to make sure everybody's included in our decision making. So they asked everybody to submit, how should we use the money for our church? And they went ahead and published all of those and let everybody see them. I mean, some of the things was, we have 5 acres back there, let's build a horse trail and set up some stables and have horse riding. A work of the church. And there was lots of things that this thing that they came up with. And that all came from the members. People who should have known better. Should have known that the work of the church is limited to 3 things. No, it's what they wanted to do. Of course, many works of denominations do nothing for the spiritual building up that the Bible teaches needs to be done. They have their daycares. They have their Mother's Day out. They have all sorts of programs. They have plays. They have skits. One time I was out in the driveway washing my car one time, and this young lady and this young man came along and said, hey, we're from the Church of Christ down here on this road, and we're having a skit production and everything, and we'd like you to know that you're invited. They didn't say one thing about why, about turning to God or evangelistic in nature. So I called them on it. Wait a minute. You're representing Jesus Christ and you didn't bring up his name one time in your conversation with me? Thank you. Have a good day. They went on their way. The worship of the church. According to Scripture, we have prayer, we have singing, we have observance of the Lord's Supper, giving to support the local church, and sermon or words of encouragement. There are many differences, and all have to do with the identity of the true Church of Christ as revealed in the Bible. And each one of the points made in this sermon could have an entire sermon dedicated to that subject. We know that. So find the church that most closely follows the Bible, and you got a good chance of having a good church. That's our lesson. Very plain and simple. Hopefully, this is something that we all know, we all understand, but there's a good possibility that some people do not know the difference in the Church of Christ and the denominations. Well, that excuse is taken away from you now. So consider those things. We're going to sing our invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing. When the trumpet of the